Blog Talk Praise Radio. God.
Praise God, praise God. Welcome, people of God, here back to the Victory Praise Radio broadcast. And I am so glad to be your host today. I'm so glad to come before you. And listen, I have a great man of God that is going to be on here with us today and has a word in his mouth. Listen, let me tell you something. See, the word of God says that the word is seed. And this word that you're going to get today, you need to just plant this seed on the inside of you so God can do what he wants to do for you in your life. I know we see a lot of stuff happening in this world. I know we see it. I see it just like you do, people of God. But now is not the time to get weary in well-doing. Now is not the time to lean to what the devil is doing. One scripture, and you know I always give you a word of encouragement when we come on. One scripture that I want you to remember also is over in Exodus chapter 23 and 25. And the people begin to get this word. And the word says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Listen, God has already given you authority over this thing. This thing can't touch you. This thing cannot take you out. He's given you authority over this thing. He says, "There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days will," he says, "the number of thy days I will fulfill." Listen, this is his word that he's given to you. And this word in the Hebrew, this word means to turn off sicknesses. Word, if you look that up, it means to turn off sicknesses. What is he doing? He's turning off sicknesses out of you. You don't have a right to carry sicknesses because he redeemed you from it, people of God. Now is not the time to listen to what the radio is saying, TV is saying. It's not time to listen to the news, what the news is saying. There's only one word that you need to get, and that is the Rhema word of God. We got to stay in the word to understand what he's saying and what he's saying for you in this time, in this season right now, people of God. You got to trust God, man. Don't look at the storm. But I'm telling you, you're going to hear from somebody else. Praise God. I have a great friend of mine. I was blessed to meet this young man doing some awesome work all around the country, teaching the word of God, has a phenomenal ministry, working with leaders. And if you leaders listening to this today, just unplug your ears so you can hear what thus say the Lord is saying today. A man of God, I've been following his ministry, and he's teaching only the word. He ain't teaching no theories. He's teaching the word of God. And I'm pleased to announce and bring to you today my good friend, Apostle Omar Morton from New Jersey. Hey, Apostle, how you doing, sir?
Hey, bless you, Apostle. I'm doing awesome, doing awesome. Yeah, we're excited to be with you today, and I'm excited about what you started off with. That was some real powerful stuff, and we're going to go right in the line of that direction of what you started off with today.
Come on, hallelujah, because this is Amen. What God is doing right now in this season, man, and he's calling true men and women of God that they're hearing the same word that God is
Praise
saying,
God.
Edifying, the same word that God is saying, and that lets us know that we're in that vein, man. We're in that vein.
Absolutely.
We're in that vein. But God is doing some awesome things with you, man of God. Can you tell us some of the things that God is doing? Because we right in that vein, man. I want to stay right up in there.
Yes.
Praise God.
It's been amazing what the Lord's been doing. We live in New Jersey, but we're headquartered from out of Brooklyn, New York. And so we have a couple of churches there in the Brooklyn, New York area, one in Coney Island, which is actually our headquarters in Coney Island, Brooklyn. And then we're also in an area called Mill Basin. And so the Lord is moving in a tremendous way. Many of you guys probably are aware with the annual hot dog eating contest. Well, that's exactly where our church is. We are right in Coney Island, Brooklyn. Yeah, and I tell you, the Lord is doing there's a lot more going on in Coney Island than the hot dog eating contest and many of the different things there. God is moving in a tremendous way. And then also as of recent, we're in the process right now of opening up a branch in New Jersey. And so we're excited about the expansion.
Wow. My God, man, God is doing some awesome things, and it's going on all around the country, man. I really feel like this, Apostle. What's in my spirit that I'm hearing from God is this is a season that God is removing the fake and he's replacing the real, so that the people can really see what the kingdom of God is like. Because so many people have been preaching this fake gospel, and it's time for the real men and women of God to be exposed so that people can see the direction that God wants them to go in.
Apostle, you're speaking from the heart of God. You're speaking direct. I mean, that you can't get any more direct than that. That's exactly what's happening. And, of course, you know that New York City has been the epicenter from in America of this disease as well. It's been strong in New Jersey as well. And every time I speak to any fivefold minister from around the world, and I tell them what's going on in New York, they're shocked because, Apostle, I probably have about, there's probably at least 35 to 40 senior leaders of churches in New York City that have died of COVID-19.
Jesus.
We're not just talking pastors now that's on the pastoral staff. We're talking the visionary. We're talking the one that the Lord spoke to, and then they went out and established the work. I know about 35 to 40 of them. Many of them were friends of mine that are no longer here. So this is the reason why what you started off this broadcast with tonight is very, very critical, because we have a lot of believers, but we don't have a lot of people that are diligent in the things of God and know how to work the word.
Jesus. Wow. One thing that I realized, God spoke something to me yesterday, and I was and I went to my wife and I told her, I said, baby, this is what God is saying. He said, my people need to understand righteousness. If you don't understand righteousness, there is no right standing with him. There is nothing that you can do if you don't understand who you are in Christ. If you don't understand what ground that you stand on, you cannot get anything. But we focus on faith. But people need to understand that without righteousness, faith cannot work the way that it needs to work. Righteousness comes through God.
Now,
but faith is something he's already given us.
Yes.
Come on, Apostle.
Man, oh man, Apostle. The amazing thing about what you're saying is, of course, I didn't tell you, I never told you this in terms of our conversation, but I have a book, really, actually, the manuscript of the book's been at the printer for a minute, but the whole book is called The Scepter of the Kingdom, and the whole book is on the revelation of righteousness. And what I was, one of my main things that I began to explain in the book is that the scepter represents the authority of the kingdom. And the reason why many of us are not moving in the authority of the kingdom is because we don't understand righteousness. And as a result of it, oftentimes we're not in right standing with God. We're not in right standing with one another. We're not in right standing with government. And as a result of it, there is no authority. I was explaining that if somebody came to your house and they said, you know, hey, they're a cop or whatever, they got to show their badge. Their badge, their number on their badge, all of that kind of stuff, once you authenticate it and realize it's a real one, you realize that that person has authority. Well, as a believer, our authority or our badge is righteousness. And without righteousness, you have no authority to operate.
My God, boy, you said a mouthful right there, man. Wow. That's what I mean with saying that God is speaking to the true men and women of God, man, and it's edifying the same exact thing. The same
stuff
exact
possible.
thing. Yes. Same exact thing. And I love what you're doing, not only in your area, but you're going all across. And before this coronavirus hit, you know, you were going all across the country with the Gathering of the Eagles, man. And
yes.
I, you know, one thing, and when I saw that, and the first thing I said was, I got to attend one of these. And your words were, no, you ain't just going 10. I got to attend one of these, man. Because you're doing some powerful work, man. Can you tell us more about that, the Gathering of the Eagles, so that people can know what you're doing with that?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. We know that in Ezekiel, one of the faces that we see there dealing with one of the angels before the throne is the face of an eagle. And so the Lord began to deal with me about we were going with the Gathering of the Eagles. What I was actually slotting you in to preach at is what's called the Gathering of the Bald Eagles. That's the eagle with the white head, and that's a special type of eagle. But the whole point is that we understand that eagles have exceptional vision. They have exceptional sight. And what we've been doing as we've been going all around the country, actually, we were scheduled to do one in Rome. I have a friend of mine who's pretty much like the first apostle in the area of Rome. And so we were actually going to go to Rome in June to do a big one. So, but now, of course, we got to delay it. But, yeah, the Lord's been good to us. We've been moving all around the place with the Gathering of the Eagles, and we've been imparting all of the revelation of the eagle, the beak, the eyes, the wings, and then from there, what we do, you know, as the Lord leads us, we impart in terms of gifts, and then we activate gifts that align dormant in the lives of God's people.
My God, and that anointing, man, that anointing that's on your life, you know, I've had so many people that when I tell them that my kids are involved in the ministry, man they look at me like a deer in headlights, like your kids involved in the ministry, like, yeah. I mean, why is that surprising? You know, and it's like, and they'll say, well, I can't get my kids to do anything. But one thing that I learned was, is that when your kids see your life, you don't
my
have
God.
To pull teeth for them to do anything. When they see your life, they see you living what you preaching, they're right there by your side. And nobody can
Absolutely.
Tell me nothing different.
Absolutely.
And I love, I mean, and your daughter ministers so profoundly, man. I mean, just like you. When I turned it on one day, and I was like, I say, who is this? What? I say, wow, that anointing will flow down, man.
Yeah, that girl is something else, man. She's only just turned 18, and, you know, beautiful young lady, beautiful as can be, but at the same time, she's so humble. You know, she's so much of a servant as it relates to just serving in the church and, you know, serving the parents and those type of things. And I'm telling you, the Lord is really, I'm amazed myself a lot of times when I sit there and I watch her flow. She's not only she's deep in revelation, that girl is something in the prophetic, man.
Mm-hmm. My
yeah,
God.
She's amazing.
My God, she got it honestly too.
Yeah,
my
God
is
good.
Man,
I'll tell you,
mountain ain't go far, man. Wow, man.
God is too kind.
Yes, he is. Yes, he sure is. And you and your wife is a great team together, man. When I see y'all ministering together, I mean, y'all just flow, man. You know, y'all just flow in the word. What is it like to be on that level, both of you all on that level, and are able to flow together the way that you do, and it's like you're hearing from God at the same time. How is that like for you to be able to do that within yourself and seeing your wife, you know, on the same level like that?
Well, listen, we've been together for a long time. It's taken years. It's taken a long time. We met each other as teenagers, and you know, we've grown together. And so the thing is that It's an amazing thing. There are times that the Lord will speak stuff to me, and my wife obviously will follow in that direction, or the family will follow in that direction. But then there are times where it's been opposite, where the Lord has revealed stuff or spoke stuff to my wife. And, you know, listen, if the Lord spoke and revealed stuff and said stuff, and I know it's God, I'm going to flow and go in that direction there. So it's just basically wanting to see God's will done in the earth with no type of agenda. When I say no type of agenda, ego, all of those different types of things connected to it. And so whether it's the Lord speaking to me, whether it's the Lord speaking to us, it really doesn't matter as long as the job gets done.
Wow. My God, yeah. My God, that's awesome, man. That's awesome, you know, because it's needed in this season that we're in right now. You know, it is so needed. And, you know, I thank God for my wife. You know, we've been together 23 years, and she helps
awesome.
With Dylan's Living Ministry. Yes, I love that short woman, man. And she helps me out so much in the ministry, man. A whole lot. And with this stuff that we're going on your level of what God is saying to you in this season, what are some of the things God is saying to you for the people of God in this season right now?
Well, the Lord's been dealing with me about several years ago. The Lord started dealing with me about, you know, I love this week. I've called this week re-week. And obviously both of us know that some of the most important words in the scriptures, they begin with the prefix re. And so I believe that one of the most important things that God is saying is that we need to go and we need to repair some altars. And you have a family altar. You have a altar basically in the spirit in terms of your church. Then you're supposed to have an altar dealing with the city, and then you're supposed to have, you know, that national altar. So I think that what God is doing, because everything starts with the family, is he's brought us back into the house, back to the family. Believe it or not, Apostle, I don't know if you saw this statistic, but a prophet friend of mine was sharing this with me, that since the coronavirus and the shut-in, they were saying that about 30, maybe 30 to 40% of people actually during this season have been divorced.
What?
And so, no. Can you imagine that? So before this, everybody's busy. They're busy. They're working. They're doing stuff. Now, for the most part, except for essential workers, everything is shut down. So now you've got to, you know, talk and all of those kinds of things. And some people are not making it. Why are they not making it? Because they have not repaired the altar in their life. And we understand, you know, I'm a great proponent. I believe in prayer. I never forget the late Miles Monroe said one day, who obviously was a great influence upon my life and the body of Christ. He said that what Jesus did the most, we do the least. And obviously we see that what Jesus did the most was pray. And so I'm up. Every morning, I lead a prayer from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., and we're up to 2 a.m. We go a couple hours of prayer. But that's the Lord's been allowing us to reestablish again prayer inside the house. And so I believe that we need to have these prayer altars, in a sense, repaired in our life if we're going to really, really see not just a move of God, but a move of God with sustainability. God, I feel the anointing on that. With sustainability,
wow.
Because there's a lot of things that have been released, but it has not had sustainability. I'm tired of reading about revivals or moves with no sustainability.
My God, because people don't understand. Because you, I mean, you tapping with something right there. Because people think that the altar is in the building. The altar ain't in the building. The altar is in you. They think I got to go in the building. To kneel to the altar.
Come on.
God, you type of slow down, man. My God,
yeah.
My God. Wow. Man, I love this, man. I love this. I love because that's the thing. They think that I have to go inside. And if they really pay attention to what they're saying, that's really legalism. I'm trying to do something to get something. I'm trying to do something to be something. And that's a sign of legalism. God didn't know legalism. You know, he's legal, but he ain't legalism. You know, you can't come before him in this religious tone of trying to get something from God religiously. And that's not how we're getting it. And you're right. I believe a lot of people are, like you say, divorcing is because if God is not the center, I tell people all the time, if he's not the center, and nothing else around you is going to work, because you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get teed off with people. Why? Because he's not the center. When God is the center, nothing's going to bother you. Everything's going to roll off of you because he's the center. My God. And even in your area right now, I know, like you say, even around you, there's a lot of stuff going on. Even in New Jersey, they're talking, you know, New York, they're talking about the level of coronavirus and all that stuff. But I know for a fact that God is sustaining you and your family and all of the righteous people. Number one is because they know who they are in Christ. They know that they walk in righteousness with him. And when you meet people today, and you know, in your area, do you see them, even some church folk, let's be real, do you see them as walking in fear more than walking in faith with God? How are they in your areas right now?
Absolutely. It's unbelievable, Pastor, the level of fear. Because again, now, we're talking, where I live at is very spread out, so it's more suburban, and you know, it's just more safe environment, but not too far from here now. You know, you have a lot of people with the virus, but in New York, I couldn't even explain it to you, the level of stuff that's happening. And yes, absolutely, the people are absolutely bound by fear. And it was amazing. We were just praying one of these days. We usually have themes. The Holy Spirit will usually give me a theme that we pray. And one of the themes the other day was righteousness. And I just started touching all kinds of scriptures. And in Isaiah, we know the Bible says that the effect of righteousness will be peace. So I was trying to explain to the people that without righteousness, you can't even walk in peace or walk or operate in the absence of fear. You know, peace is supposed to be the thing that calms the storm. We know when the storm came, Jesus said, what? Shalom to it. He spoke, peace, be still. And it calmed the storm. But in my area, absolutely. People are paralyzed by fear. Where we live at in Jersey, we live in a luxury building. So we were I was going in the elevator one day, and it was just me and I think it was me and my daughter. And this is before they instituted the 6 feet, staying 6 feet from a person. And it was funny, the elevator opened.
Wow.
And of course, now they didn't know that who we are. They don't know we're annoying it. They don't know nothing. And they looked at the elevator and they just said, we ain't gonna go on this. All right, see you later. We catch the next elevator. And me and my daughter joked. We said, man, if they had something, they might have got delivered if they would have came in an elevator. But the fact is that the fear of death has paralyzed people so much that, you see it everywhere you go. Every time I go to the store anywhere, people are bound by that spirit.
Wow. And that, and I try to tell people when I come in contact with people ministering to them, I say, listen, if you're in Christ, anything that was not of God that touched Jesus, it had to die. And if he lives on the inside of you, what do you think happens to coronavirus if it's trying to touch you? It's got to die. It can't.
Absolutely.
Nothing that is not of God can touch him and live. It won't happen. It can't happen. So, and all of this comes from people not knowing who they truly are in Christ. Not knowing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If they truly knew, man, if they truly knew, they would be running to deliver some people. Because you know, once you know he's in you and you in him and he got your back, you know, it's just like when Jesus showed up to Simon Peter to the lake. You know, something God opened my eyes to with this today. When Jesus showed up, the first thing Jesus did was say, push me out into the water. What did he go to do? He went to go teach Logos word to the water.
Hallelujah.
Because Logos was already written. He went to go speak Logos. But when he came back ashore, he told Peter to launch out. He spoke Rhema. That's his word. Now you launch out. And you put both of them two together, what can you not accomplish and receive, man, when you got both of them together, man?
Yeah.
Wow. My God.
That's
Jesus.
Awesome.
My God. And it's awesome just to see what God is doing, even in your life up there, how God is moving and the things that God is doing. And God is bringing some connections together now, some connections of people that are sold out to him and want to do everything that he says. That's it.
That's exactly
nothing
it.
Else
yeah.
matters.
Wow.
Nothing else matters. Wow. My God. Man, what do you think about with, and I know there's probably some pastors listening to this and people in different positions, a lot of people want to carry the apostleship role. They want to walk as an apostle, but they're not portraying what an apostle does. Half of them don't even understand what an apostle does. They don't even understand the work of an apostle. What would you have to say to some of these people? Because, see, we're walking as real apostles. We ain't no fake. We ain't no fly by night. We ain't just pop up yesterday, you know. But what can we say to these people that they just want the title, but they're not doing the work? How dangerous is that?
Apostle is so dangerous because I have a lot of young sons, and they're so fast to receive the title of apostle, or even we know it's not a title, it's a calling, it's a grace, but at the same time they so are enamored by the title. I try to explain it this way, and this is the thing that slows many of my folk when I explain it this way. They say, wait, hold up now. I don't know if I want to be called a prophet. I don't know if I want to be called an apostle, because we understand that Apostle Paul taught us there in Ephesians chapter 6. He talks about, you know, fivefold ministry. But then in Ephesians chapter 6, he begins to talk about, you know, basically the hierarchy when it comes to the kingdom of darkness. And what we don't understand oftentimes is when we declare that we're something in the kingdom of God, the counterpart gets assigned to you in the kingdom of darkness. So whatever level of spiritual warfare is assigned to apostles, the moment you say that you're an apostle, then that's the counterpart that gets assigned. And the reason why we have so many people being taken out is because what we don't understand is in Acts chapter, I believe that's Acts chapter 60, when they were putting the deacons together, the apostles, what did they say? They said that we're going to give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word of God in prayer, all right? And so the fact of the matter is that many people want to declare apostleship, but then they don't want to do what an apostle, as you said, is supposed to do. And so the main thing that I try to communicate is, before you claim a title in the kingdom of God, all right, are you ready for the level of warfare that you're going to go through when you claim that particular title? And that's why many people are being wiped out, because they have a title but no grace on their life. And so the thing is, again, is that we both know, both of us, we've been around for a while, we both know what a real one looks like and how a real one functions and operates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, man, it's a sad thing when I see a lot of the folk now that I said to you have been wiped out. Again, I'm not talking folk that call themselves reverend or folks that call themselves, you know, whatever. About half of them folk that's been wiped out of New York are people that have carried the function and the title apostle, you know. And so Yeah, we got to be real careful when we start declaring and claiming many of these offices. We both know that many of our forefathers that have gone before us, the Kenneth Hagin Seniors, of course, Bill Winston, living now, Kenneth Copeland, I can go on and on and name all different types of folk. They were not really interested too much in using the word apostle or the word prophet. You know, as a matter of fact, when I first started off, until my understanding changed a little bit, they used to just call me Brother Omar. And that's because of what I grew up in. And so I'm saying that some of these folk that don't want to function on the level that they're supposed to function spiritually, and they call themselves an office, they might be smart to go back to brother or sister. because the level of warfare that's coming to you, because the enemy knows the damage that an apostle, my God, he knows the damage that an apostle can do to his kingdom, a real one. He knows the damage
Jesus.
A real prophet can do to his kingdom. So when you proclaim those two offices there, man, the level of warfare is coming at you like you've never seen before. So if there's any young emerging leaders that are listening right now, be real, real careful and real slow about stepping into these graces and having people to call you something that God has not called you to walk in.
Wow. My God, Jesus. And see, this is coming from someone that has the experience on this level of what God has
yes.
called him to do. Now, and what would be the things that because there may be some right now that's saying God called me to be a pastor, God called me to be this, he called me to be that. What are some of the basic things that you would say to them that what they need to start, where they need to start at, and so forth, to keep them from going down the wrong road?
Well, I have this whole, I never forget this, Apostle. I was in London, and I'm not going to go into the whole long story because it's a long story. But this was my youngest son. So this was 17 years ago. My youngest son was about to be born. I was trying to go back home. And the Lord wouldn't let me go back home. Some folk might not be able to relate to it, but I can't go into the depth of the story. So every time I try to go back home, get on the train, it's called the Piccadilly Line in London. Train will stall. I'm on the train 3 hours trying to make my way back to the airport. I said, okay, you know what? Tomorrow's going to come. I said, I'm going to wake up early, 10 hours before the time, and I'm going to get there, get on this train, and get to the hotel. Whatever I tried to do, the Lord wouldn't let me go home. So I would check into the hotel. Spent there 3 days praying, and what wound up happening, I began to minister there in a particular conference. A friend of mine found out that I was there, and so I never forget this time, because the Lord, I began to preach a message on what's called the Davidic order. I was teaching on David, and the message was the Saulish order is over. God is causing the Davidic order to emerge, and what I started teaching on David's three anointings. And so we both know that the first time David got anointed, this is amazing, he has the anointing on him to be the next king, if you will. And he goes from having the grace of a king on him to being placed into the position of a servant. And so the problem I see, Apostle, with a lot of folk is that, and this is a groundbreaking teaching that I've done, because I've had to learn this the hard way. I've been teaching people that anointing is not greater than authority.
Oh my
and what
God.
I've been trying to explain to them is that the mistake that we've been making is we've been promoting anointed people, but we've not been teaching people the importance of character, the importance of serving,
wow.
the importance of, for example, imagine you are David, and the leader, your servant, is no longer anointed, and you have his anointing upon your life. But you get a revelation that leader is still in office. And so because that leader is still in office, if I push that leader out of office, it's going to be me promoting my own anointing and pushing myself into a place before the time. So we have a lot of people that are gifted, they're anointed, but they have no character, and they last only in ministry 3 years, 5 years, because they don't understand that the first level of anointing is servitude. And so I deal with a lot of Hebrew and Jewish believers, and so I have this teaching the Lord gave me about the three levels of development in the life of a Jewish male. Any person that's a Jew knows this. Number one, it's what's called circumcision. 8 days old, Jesus was circumcised. Number two, at 12 years old, we call it a bar mitzvah, but what it actually is it's apprenticeship. When Jesus was 12, he entered into the second phase, which is called apprenticeship. And then the third phase, after you pass apprenticeship, is when you step into sonship, where the Father confers his authority upon you. So most folk apostles have not been the apprentice to anyone. And so that's the reason why, again, we have people, they're gifted, but they're out of character. Certain things that they don't know because they never sat under great leaders and served them. And so my thing is God gave me the opportunity. I was able to sit under some great leaders and serve those leaders and wait. As a matter of fact, even when God began to tell me my time was coming, I loved my leaders so much, I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to step out the pastor. I got so happy and content being under those leaders, I just wanted to stay there. And so, again, most of our people, because they're taught correctly, they know that the most important phase for them is apprenticeship. It's when you're taught the family business. And so that's a whole nother level of revelation. But you have to serve with whatever father or whatever spiritual leader that the Lord places in your life. And you have to be loyal, not just to God, but you got to be loyal to the God that's on the inside of that person. And that's the thing, once you do that, that positions you to be able to step into what God has for you. And I'm afraid to say, Apostle, many people have skipped apprenticeship.
Wow. My God. And you are absolutely right, man. You are absolutely right. Because and the reason I laugh is because I was there where I knew God called me to do. I knew He called me to preach the word, but I didn't want to go. I was there under my pastor, and I did not want to leave. And I know what God was saying, and He knew, but He wouldn't. Yes. But He wouldn't come to me. He wouldn't come to me. And when I heard God, I took it to my wife, and my wife said, "I've been heard Him. I was waiting on Him to talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So then I go to my pastor, I sit down and I talk to him, and I call him Dad. I said, "Dad, this is what God has given me to do." And I said, "God has called me to go ahead and teach His word." And he says to me, "I've already heard from God. I was waiting on Him to come to me." And I'm sitting there like, my God. And I didn't want to go. And he said, "Son, if you don't go," he said, "nothing in your life is going to work. Nothing is going to work." And God began to let me know.
That thing, man, that's the reason why you're so successful, Apostle. That's why you're so successful, because your spiritual father released you and blessed you.
Jesus.
Yeah, because he released you and blessed you. That's why Jesus experienced the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." He released them and blessed them into sonship. And so because you had that happen to you, that's one of the reasons why you're so successful, Apostle.
Jesus, my God. And it's like one after another, God is just doing some amazing things. And we're just sitting back looking at what God is doing. I'm like, wow, are you serious,
Hallelujah.
God? Serious, man. And one thing God said to me, he had me to understand that in every great leader that he calls, they have a kingship and a priestship heart on the inside of them. They walk with both. You can't have one or the other. You got to walk with both. And he broke it down. He said, because the king has the provision. God has already given us the provision to do what he wants, what he called us to do. And that provision comes through his word. Once I give you the word, you don't have to look for nothing else to happen. All you got to do is show up the way I sent you. And he began to let me know. He said, "Son, before I chose you to do it, I done completed the task. I just need you to walk it out of the earth, bring it into manifestation. And if every leader can understand that, it isn't a vision you got to work. God has already worked it. He just wants you to bring it to pass in the earth. That's it.
He said,
we have a kingship heart. The king has the provision. They go to war to make laws. They set the laws. They set things in stone. That's what kings do. You never see a king set a decree and wonder if it's going to be done. He don't do that.
Come on here,
Father. He knows it's done. And then he says, son, then you have the priest's heart. The priest carries the vision. The king has the provision. The priest carries the vision. He said, This is what I put in at your leader. And if you don't understand that, you can't get to the promised land. You can't get there, man.
Wow.
And that's the one thing that I love about you, is because you understand who you are in Christ. And the things that you do, you don't care what nobody say, you're going to do what God called you to do, because you got a kingship and the priestship on the inside of you, and can't nobody stop you. And that's the one thing I love about
my
you,
God.
Your wife, Pastor.
Yes.
God,
wow.
My God.
Wow.
Man, it is just so awesome, man. Just to, every time I see you guys teaching, I'm like, wow, there he is, because I'm learning something different, learning something new. You know, but how does God deal with you sometimes, basically, in bringing a balance to being a husband, being a father, ministry, over the people and everything? How do you bring balance? Because there's been so many pastors that they try to do too much at one time, and it's just frustrating to them. But how do you bring balance to that?
Well, Pastor, you might as well throw me in there too, because I was one of those also that wasn't so balanced. But I think that because we had, when I first started, so I was so young, my wife was so young, that and then we had such young kids at the time that, you know, we had to be able to find different things to do. So I have a friend of mine, when I first started, our church now is Kingdom Manor, but we were originally Victory International Christian Fellowship. We were under Billy Joe Darden in Tulsa. And so one of my friends who ran the Bible school, Victory's Bible School, he came, he used to minister for us, and he started sharing with us, I think it was called the 7-7-7 principle. And that was, he said, he was explaining that every seven days, him and his wife would go on some kind of a date, dinner date or whatever. Then he would explain about every 7 weeks, they would go on some kind of a short vacation. Every 7 months, they would go on a full vacation. So what I started doing was, a lot of times we would be doing the ministry in the church, and what I would do is I would just take the kids, grab the kids, grab the wife, and tell them, I said, hey, guys, listen, we're going to go. There's a place on the East Coast called the Poconos. You know, it's all kinds of family resorts.
I heard of that.
All of those.
My wife wanted to go there too, man.
Lord, well, listen, when you come up, we're going to take you there. It's off the chain.
and we
would go there and just, I'm telling you, it could be Friday, the kids would come. I say, all right, let's jump in the car, man. Them guys would start yelling, they'd be excited. And we just drive up, not too far from New York, drive up to the Poconos, stay there over the weekend. And I'm telling you, when I say we would have a ball, we'd be playing, you know, because I played basketball my whole life. So we played basketball. We played all kinds of sports. We go in the go-karts. I mean, those kids, by the time Saturday came, they'd be tired because we just, you know, did everything possible. And then on Sunday, when Sunday comes, we get up, get dressed, and then make our way driving back, because we would have three services on Sunday, so we make our way driving back and go to the church. And so, you know, I think you have to be able to find things that you like to do that's apart from spiritual things. You know, some people say, my fun is prayer. You know, they just being deep there. My fun is prayer. My fun is reading. You know, okay, leaders are readers, but at the same time, and so like I said, for me, if you give me And I'm the main thing I miss during this virus is my basketball games. Oh man, I love the NBA. I love the college games. You give me a good 2 hour game. Oh man, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine and I'm relaxed and I unwind. So I think we got to find things that we like to do. We have to find things that our family likes to do, and you know, sort of incorporate that in the midst of all of the things that God has called us to do. And so I don't know how we do it, Apostle, but somehow we find a way to do it and get it done. And then last thing I'll say too is my church is non-traditional, so our environment is so much fun. You know, sometimes I'm leaving out of my building and people are looking at me. They can't even figure it. They say, hold up now, is he going for a walk? Or is he going to the church? Because I might have a full jogging suit on. I might have a jean suit on with my sneakers. And so, you know, because we sort of flow a certain kind of way. You know, even when we do the ministry, we still feel the balance because, you know, we just try to make sure that you know, we're enjoying it and having a good time as we do it. But it's a lot there. Yeah. I look forward to being able to bring you and your wife over to the Poconos. Y'all would have a ball over there.
Oh, man, she loved that place, man. Sometime I would call her at work, and then I'd be like, well, what you doing, baby? She said, I'm in Poconos. How in the world you get to Poconos? I thought you were in Fort Lauderdale. Like, I'm on a computer, dummy. I'm like, wow.
Lord have mercy.
She's here in Poconos all the time, man. She said, this is where I want to go, Poconos. I said, well, where is Poconos? I gotta get this woman to Poconos, man, because she always looking at Poconos. I said, wow. And I don't know who started this rumor that when you preach, you got to be in a three-piece suit. I don't know who started that, because it's like, to me, I want to be comfortable when I preach the word of God. And if I'm comfortable, like you say, in jeans or whatever, if God ain't looking at my clothes. I mean, yes, I know there are some times that we put on a suit, but come on, Apostle. I mean, where we get this wrong?
I don't have no idea. I know one day I was preaching, you know, Coney Island area. Now, one of our churches is in a very, very, you know, probably one of the richer areas of Brooklyn, but then Coney Island now, you know, as we say it on the East Coast, you know, that's the hood, man. I mean, that's the, so one day I was preaching, Apostle, and Apostle, it was so hot in the building. I think we was having an issue with the AC. It was so hot in the building, and this is summertime now. It might have been 100 in there. Wow. So I had to put on shorts. I put on shorts, man. Listen, it was a Sunday. I had three quarter shorts on, you know, along with some kind of a Izod shirt or something. I don't remember. And preached just like that. And I had so many people walk past the church. And they walked past, looked in, and stopped there and said, man, I like that preacher's flow. I like his style. And so my thing is that when I was a little younger now, there's certain things that I just completely rebelled against altogether because of just being, you know, non-traditional. But as I've gotten older and gotten a little wiser, you know, I've learned to become all things to all men without compromising my convictions. And so, I got plenty of AP suits and different things like that. But at the same time, I've learned how to have fun and do ministry at the same time.
That's it. And I think when people see us that way, as true men and women of God, when they see us that way, I believe we can win more souls when they see the realness of the preacher. You know, because they've been seeing the fake for so long, man. But when they can see the real, and it's like you down. You know, I remember we have a young lady. She may be listening to this now. And we went to a leaders conference, and And me and my wife, you know, we went, and see, I'm the type of person, you know, with stuff like that. And it was on a Saturday. So, you know, I had on jeans, and you know, but I was dressed appropriately, you know, my jeans and my dress shirt and everything. So she said when it was my turn to come up, she said, okay, well, this man, an apostle, well, he ain't dressed like an apostle. Well, let me see what's going to come out of his mouth. And she said, when you open your mouth, she said, I had to sit up. And she said, you only talked for 20 minutes, but you made my baby leap in my womb. And I say, my God. And she said, because that's the anointing that you carry. And I said, my God. And she said, but I looked at your clothes first. And see, that's the thing. We try to size people up, just like the disciples when they saw Jesus. They say, what kind of man is this? Hold up, you looking at the man? You didn't see the anointing this came from him? But you looking at the man? Like, wow. My God. My God. That's why I had to ask that question. Where do we get this from, man? Because, you know, it's not about the clothes, but it's about who you are in Christ and the anointing that you're flowing in. That's
absolutely
what it's all about.
Absolutely.
My God. My God, my God. And now your services, are you still doing them? Okay, because there may be some people that may want to tune in to some stuff that you're doing. Are you still doing them inside the sanctuary, or are you doing them online? So because some people may want to hear and tune in. So
yeah, no, Apostle, we're doing them. We're right online. It's just, you know, basically flowing right in line with being righteous, and that is following, you know, as long as the governor, as long as the mayor don't violate what the word of God says and what Jesus told us to do, we're going to flow right in line with that. And so we've been from one of our buildings, we were giving out food and stuff, but I had a couple group of people giving out food to the people in the community. But besides that, we've been doing all of our stuff online, and I'm online. Matter of fact, as soon as we get off, I'm going to be jumping on, because Tuesday nights we have Tuesday night is usually our Bible study night for our No Basin Church. Wednesdays is for our Coney Island Church. And then Thursdays I was doing the School of Ministry. So that's the reason why you see me online.
Amen.
On Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesdays,
Amen.
And Thursdays. And then in the nighttime, and when I say every night, Apostle, because the Lord gave us this assignment just recently, my wife, the Lord spoke to her about going every 3 hours for worship. And so we structured the leadership and structured the church, even some of our babies in the church, young people. And we've been every 3 hours. First we were doing the praise and worship, but then every 3 hours now we started going with live prayer. So once we started that, every night, I mean Monday through Sunday, me and my daughter and sometimes my wife, we do the 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. prayer, and people are calling in. Well, not calling in, but people are jumping on from all over the place because, man, it's been awesome. We just been praying. We've been praying the word. That's all I believe in is praying the word, speaking the word, and appropriating the word. And that's the thing you started off with, Apostle, when we first started off tonight. It's not the hour, the time that we're living in right now. It ain't good enough to say, you know, well, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Well, what do believers and Christians do? We have to believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. We gotta get God's word in us, and we got to speak and declare God's word. And so that's exactly what we've been doing. And it's been so amazing, this prayer, because I'm telling you, we pray the word, and once you start praying the word, you start hitting the prophetic. And so once we start praying that way, then just the prophetic kicks in. And it's coming, and I'll usually release the word of the Lord. My daughter will, or my wife, or whomever. But yeah, I'm on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and then when I go off on Tuesday, my daughter comes on right after me. She has a different crowd that she reaches. She's on Facebook as well as what some young people call IG, Instagram, and then she goes on Fridays as well. So it's a whole household thing, Pastor.
Amen. That's how it should be too. Amen.
Yep.
Man, I tell you, man, we ain't putting up with foolishness, man. We're all about the kingdom of God. And I love
praise
what you're
God.
Doing up there. You know, we're behind you. We're praying for you guys as well.
Thank you so much.
Standing with you. Because we know what God is doing, and we know that God is doing some amazing things in your life up there. And, man, I certainly appreciate you being with us today. And we got to do this again, Apostle. We got to do this again.
Man, I had so much fun talking to you, Apostle. As long as I'm free, I'll talk to you, and we can flow anytime. And I can't wait for this to be over so that we can get you in one of these gathering of the eagles.
Hey, man, love to be with you up there, man. Love to be with you up there. And I so thank God for you. And people of God, listen, whatever it is that you need from God, as I said, it's already done. You just got to believe it. Apostle Morton has already said to you as well, all you got to do is take the word as a seed, put it on the inside, and let it grow on the inside of you. You don't even have to work it. God has already worked it. Just plant the word seed, people of God. That's all you got to do. And we thank God for this man of God being with us on today. And please, by all means, his name is Apostle Omar Morton. Look him up on Facebook. He's right there teaching the word of God. If you need a good word, trust me, when you listen to this man of God, by the time he goes off, you will know some words. Because he ain't teaching theories, he's teaching the word of God and the kingdom of God. Promise me. I promise you, that's
you,
all
Jesus.
That he's teaching people of God. We love you all, people of God. And always remember, walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because it's already done. Trust God and he will make it happen. Enjoy this song as we leave by Jacqueline Carr. You will win. Trust me, you've already won. Just take it
praise
up
God.
And believe it. Love you, people of God. We'll see you again on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Praise God. Thank you. God bless you.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will
but the question is, can you win? I came to tell somebody up in here tonight that there is something on the inside of you that's going to help you win in this season, and it's called a champion. You ought to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell him everything attached to you wins? Come on, let's just tell him everything attached to you wins. Now just tell him, say, it's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed.
You've got God to carry you.
It's your winning seed.
I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your row, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will